Welcome back to episode 3 of Keeping Up with the Constitution, a podcast hosted by the committee members of the University of Malaya Consti team, bringing you a simple dissection of the Malaysian Constitution. I am Charmaine, your host for today, and today's topic is Separation of Powers, the Three Pillars of Democracy. So, what exactly is separation of power? We can start off our topic by looking at the declination of basic structure doctrine in Malaysia in the case of Loy Kui Chun and Government of Malaysia, where it underlined that all amendments affected in accordance with Article 159 of the Federal Constitution are effective regardless that it alters the basic structure doctrine of the Constitution. So basically, in other words, the doctrine of separation of power may be altered. The departure of such a decision in Semenya Jaya Sdn Bhd and Pentadbir Tanah Daerah Hulu Langat in 2017 made a significant ruling that the important concept of judicial power, judicial independence and the separation of powers are critical as they are sacrosanct in our constitutional framework. This was definitely a celebrated decision by the nation. Nonetheless, what exactly is the separation of power that Malaysians always have on the tip of their tongue? The doctrine of separation of power is an approach introduced to govern a country where it divides the task into branches, each with separate, independent power and responsibilities to ensure that the power of each branch will not conflict with each other. In Malaysia, the Constitution sets up three main constitutional institutions, which are the legislature, executive, and judiciary. Under the Constitution, these three institutions exist to do different things in such a way that each of them can check the others. So the legislature makes the law, the executive executes the law made while governing the country, and the judiciary decides the meaning of the law and settles dispute based on the law. The idea behind this doctrine was very simple, which is basically that the entire power of the state, which we elaborated just now, is not to be given to a single person or authority. It aims to divide and limit the powers of each branch. Besides, it was designed in a way that each branch is connected to the other branches by a system of check and balance. Accordingly, none of the three institutions can become too powerful in a democracy system. Besides, it was designed in a way that each branch is connected to the other branches by a system of checks and balance. Accordingly, none of the three institutions can become too powerful in a democracy system. The next question we're going to discuss and address is why SOP is important and how does this concept exist? So, you know, you may wonder why the powers need to be separated instead of having just one institution to run the country, which can also help to avoid chaos and complexity, right? The answer is simple. Imagine having only one institution under the constitution that possesses all the powers to govern the country, which includes powers to make law, to enforce laws, and to interpret the laws when dispute arises. This will definitely and surely lead to unfair consequences. Montesquieu, a French philosopher, believes that if all three powers were held by the same person, then there would be a dictatorship and arbitrary rule would prevail. Another writer, John Locke, mentioned that the three organs of the state must not get into one hand, as it may be too great a temptation to human frailty. In other words, the concept of separation of power exists to prevent tyranny and abuse of power, and most importantly, safeguard liberties of the citizens. Even so, how does this thing work? To explain it in a sentence, we would say that no organ of government controls or interferes with the exercise of functions of another, yet it comes with the principle of check and balance. This principle underlines that each branch, while performing their responsibilities, is subject to some check and balance from the other two, where this would indirectly prevent either branch from becoming supreme and ensuring political liberty. We will now go a little in depth of each of these organs, starting off with the judiciary. Malaysia's judiciary plays the most important role to protect the supremacy of the constitution. Judiciary is the only power in our country to interpret the Constitution and to decide if any law passed by the Parliament or any act of the executive is constitutional and valid. The main function of the judiciary is to adjudicate and to interpret the law which was passed in the Parliament. The judges will be appointed by the executive, where the Prime Minister decides or approves the appointment of the Superior Court judges. The hierarchy of courts begins from the subordinate courts, which are the Magistrate Court and the Session Courts. Moving on, we have the High Court, then the Court of Appeal, and finally the Federal Court, which is the Superior Court. The highest position in the judiciary of Malaysia is the Chief Justice of the Federal Court of Malaysia, followed by the President of Court of Appeal, the Chief Judge of Malaya, and the Chief Judge of Sabah and Sarawak. Malaysia also has a few other courts which are special courts, such as the Shariah Courts. Shariah courts have limited jurisdiction over matters of state Islamic law, which have jurisdiction only over matters involving Muslims. A special court was also established in 1993 with jurisdiction over the states of Malaysia and the Yang di-Pertuan Agong. This court is specially established to hear all criminal cases involving alleged offences which were committed by the rulers. Moving on, we have the executive. The executive's main role will be to govern the country according to all the laws we have and which were made by the parliament. In the federal government, the executive consists of the Conference of Rulers, the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, the Prime Minister, the Cabinet, and also the Public Services. The Conference of Rulers is made by 9 rulers and the 4 Yang di-Pertuan Negeri of the states which do not have rulers. Meanwhile, the YDPA is a constitutional monarch. The YDPA is the supreme head of the federation and also the head of Islam in his state and in Melaka, Penang, Sabah, Sarawak, and the federal territories of Kuala Lumpur, Labuan, and Putrajaya. The Prime Minister is the head of government, while the YDPA is the head of country. The Prime Minister will actually be appointed by the YDPA with a condition that the Prime Minister is one of the Dewan Rakyat members who in his judgment is likely to command the confidence of the majority of the members of Dewan Rakyat. After the Prime Minister is appointed, he will start to form his cabinet to rule the country's executive part, which is called the cabinet. The cabinet will consist of all ministers and it is the highest policy-making body in the federation. These ministers will run and control the functions of the various ministers' portfolios.